My name is Katie Groom. I am the author in residence for this time period with Cinnabar Moth Publishing. And I'm going to read one of my short stories. This one's called Pause. It's this was written around the time that Roe v. Wade was deemed not valid by the Supreme Court. And I really wrote this because, you know, I really believe that people should have a choice. Also, I believe that when you're making decisions for a large group of people, you should really pause before you think, before you make that decision. When you have that kind of unchecked power, because it is unchecked in that situation. And also just a little bit about what I think happens to, you know, babies that don't make it, you know, that whether it is a choice or, I mean, that's not an easy choice to make, even if you are making that choice, but also if, you know, you have a miscarriage and things like that. I don't believe that it just nothing happens and, you know, you just move on. There's always something heavy there that you have to move forward with. And that's kind of a little bit about this and, you know, there, you know, and that kind of story. But if you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me via social media. And I'm sure that my accounts are, you know, listed at the end of my story and stuff in here. But yeah, I feel open conversation is important to happen, is an important thing that needs to happen. So anyways, I've already taken up a lot of your time. I'm going to be reading this from my phone because I actually don't have a printout of this one. So please do bear with me. And also my little dog Delta is behind me. And sometimes when I'm recording, she feels that she's the star of the show. So I do apologize in advance if that happens. So yeah, now I'm going to read Pause for you. Sitting in the grass next to the stream, her knees folded against her chest, Celine cried. She rocked as she sobbed. She heard a buzzing next to her ear, a mosquito, a fly, whatever. She swatted it away. When it returned, she swatted harder. A few minutes passed and the buzzing hadn't returned, so Celine felt victorious for the first moment in weeks. Laying back in the grass, she wiped her cheeks and looked up at the clouds. While the usual bunny rabbit or teddy bear or T-Rex chasing a butterfly would appear in the sky, on this day there was nothing. The clouds were there, but Celine's imagination, it just wasn't. Great, she mumbled to herself. I can't even imagine, right? I'm entirely useless. Rolling to her side, Celine picked up a yellow dandelion and started to remove the petals one by one. Even in her head, it wasn't accompanied by, he loves me not, of her youth. She just felt the need to destroy something. Something weaker than her. She needed something that she could overpower because she was exhausted with her being the thing that everyone else controlled. Reaching above her head, she found her backpack and pulled it closer to use as a pillow. The laptop and science books contained within didn't make as comfortable as a headrest as even the flattened pillows on the 1960s couch her stepfather refused to let go of. A family heirloom, he would claim. Celine rolled her eyes at her own thoughts and then closed them. I just want to escape, she wished. It was hopeless, though. She discussed it with her group of friends, trying to find a solution on how to manage this. Celine was beginning to think that she needed to find a new group of friends to hang out with, but withdrawing from the friends you've had since freshman year of high school wasn't easy. They all suggested that if things were so bad, she should just leave. One insinuated that they couldn't be as bad as she was claiming because, at age 20, Celine could just go out on her own. The thing was, though, that her group of four, that of their group of four, Celine was the only one that had gone to college. Two of them married right out of high school. The other was too busy working at the local hunting and fishing supply shop to find time to date. Celine's mother and stepfather threatened constantly to take the money for her tuition away if she left, if Celine didn't follow their every rule. When Celine asked if she could stay on campus the following semester instead of driving 1 hour each direction every day, she was met with fighting and yelling unlike anything that she had ever encountered before. It didn't even matter that her stepfather's brother was there. Just like almost every day of the week, they just kept yelling at her. Celine wanted to be on her own. She wanted to complete her education, find a job in a lab somewhere, and just move out on her own. She planned to work until she could save enough for her master's. She had a 5-year plan. What 20-year-old truly had one of those? She just kept holding on to the fact that she had only one semester to go. She was thankful that she had gotten a little scholarship to the community college while in high school, giving her a head start on general credits that she would need. And she saved every penny of her part-time job to pay for her credits in the summer. Only a few more months. But what if in a few months her secret was unable to be hidden? No one was going to believe her. She had tried to tell her mother dozens of times. Her mother reinforced Celine's fears. Even if she continued to report that her stepfather's brother was being inappropriate, that he had sexually assaulted her, no one would ever believe her. She even accused him right in front of his face, and he denied it. Celine was grounded for a month. And now that Celine found herself pregnant, her evil step-uncle Rory would just deny, deny, deny. And he would probably claim that she was whoring around with one of her little friends on the weekends. He would allege that she probably didn't know who the father of the child was anyways. Celine knew exactly who it was, and it didn't matter. She had once told her friends what was going on, and Nikki, while holding her newborn baby girl, asked what Celine had done to lead him on. Her friend Missy backed Nikki up as she sat at the table flipping through her Bible in preparation for the next day's Bible study group for young housewives. Jennifer pulled her hair back into a ponytail, said something about having to get to work, and just walked out. They would ostracize her and tattle to her parents if Celine told them that she was thinking of traveling to another state to safely terminate the pregnancy. Nikki had 2 children by the age of 20 and a 3rd was on the way, and Missy was far too religious to even consider that this could be the best move for Celine. Jennifer was a wild card, but with topics like this, she usually just stuck with the group. Celine had nowhere to turn. She had turned within herself. She closed her eyes and started to meditate, clear her mind, and see what other solutions would bubble up their way to the surface. Although a thought about her history homework came to mind, she had only 2 more weeks to complete the term paper. Celine imagined a brown leaf curled into the shape of a boat on a stream. She pictured the thought getting into the little boat and then floating away. It went around a bend in the stream and it was gone from her sight. Celine concentrated on deep breaths for 5 seconds, a pause at the top and out for 5. She loved acknowledging the pause. For just a moment, there was nothing. Pause had become her mantra in life. She would pause before making any big decisions. She would pause before reacting. She would even pause before entering the house that she lived in. Pause. A thought about the next day's weather came to her. What would she wear to class? She acknowledged this thought and then put it on the little leaf boat and released it to the river. Celine realized that she didn't know what was after the bend in the river. She never followed the boats. Their purpose was to help her clear her mind. Back to her breathing. In, pause. Out, pause. In, pause. Out, pause. In, pause. Out, pause. In. Celine's eyes flickered open. It was much darker than when she had started her meditation. She surmised that she must have fallen asleep. Rubbing her eyes and sitting up, Celine realized that she was no longer laying in the grass. She was in a bed, in a dark room. She screamed, but quickly placed her hand over her mouth. Pause, Celine. She felt around to see if she could find something better than the nearby candle to light her way. She needed to find an escape route. She heard footsteps outside the door, and then a voice so beautiful that she could hear it sparkle. Oh, I think she's woken up. A few small taps on a wooden door, and that sounded like wind chimes, were followed by a welcoming, "Would it be all right if I came in?" Celine thought for a moment, but realized that she wasn't tied up and she was still in her clothes. There was no sign that there was a struggle. Hesitating only slightly, Celine replied, "Yes." The door opened slowly, but not because it appeared overly heavy or jammed. It was the cautious, polite nature of the person on the other side. Excuse me. Light came through the door, and rather than dust particles in the air, there were little specks of gold and silver. A woman that appeared about Celine's age stepped through the door. "Hello." Celine immediately noticed a several things about this woman. First of all, she had short, straight, green hair, cut in a pixie style. Secondly, she was wearing a miniskirt made of flower petals and a crop top made of mismatched leaves. Thirdly, she was wearing an elaborate Comic-Con style fairy outfit that included pointy ears, and her large clear wings moved the gold and silver specks in the air each time they flapped. And finally, this woman wore entirely too much glitter. When Celine didn't answer the woman's greeting, the woman tried again. "Hello, my name is Tallulah. Welcome to the Mushroom Kingdom." Glancing back and forth, waiting for someone to jump out and exclaim, "Gotcha!" Celine still remained silent. Tallulah took a step closer. "I found you laying at the side of the Great River, and you were crying. I sprinkled you with some of my pixie dust and brought you back here when you muttered that you wanted to escape." She smiled softly. "What is your name?"
"Celine."
Tallulah nodded politely. "Why do you want to escape your life, Celine?"
She paused. "Tallulah, no offense, but I don't know you very well. I don't even know where I am."
Tallulah giggled. "I told you, silly girl, you're in the Mushroom Kingdom." Celine shook her head. "But I don't know what that means or where that is. I don't know who you are."
"Let me show you." She reached out her hand.
Celine did not take it, but instead folded her arms across her chest. She did, however, move towards the door. "Show me, but I also want you to tell me how you got me here."
Tallulah nodded.
"Well, like I said before, I used magic, Celine." She giggled, and it sounded like starlight. Celine stepped out of the door of the bedroom and found herself in a giant, hollowed-out tree. A spiral staircase that seemingly went on forever appeared to be the only way to get around. Her fear of heights had Celine pressed up against the wall as far from the banister as she could get. "Tallulah, is there an elevator or something?"
Tallulah shook her head.
"No, we don't have someone who is an elevator. However, that's a great idea." She pulled out a tiny notebook out of the pocket of her tiny skirt, and with her tiny pen that had a large pink puff of fake hair at the end, she wrote down the idea. "It's always nice to have a fresh perspective from someone new. I will be sure to present the idea of an elevator to the head of the pixie resources. When a pixie is feeling down, it would be nice to have someone to lift their spirits." She giggled as she put her notebook away.
"No, Tallulah, what I mean is I don't think I can walk all these stairs."
Celine still hadn't moved from the wall. Tallulah slowly and dramatically said, "Oh." She put her hand to her mouth as if she was going to blow a kiss, and then, well, she did. Celine was then covered in pixie dust. Tallulah jumped into the open air at the center of the tree.
"Then we shall fly."
Celine shook her head. "I can't." Tallulah shook her head and made a tisk tisk sound.
"Celine, you can. My pixie dust has given you a temporary set of wings. Just believe in yourself."
Celine paused and thought it through. Since this obviously was some sort of dream, she decided to go for it. She stepped away from the wall, closed her eyes tightly, and as she jumped into the air, she felt a gentle hand take hers, and then she opened her eyes. She decided to look over her shoulder first to see her wings. Celine smiled widely as she saw her wings moving so quickly that she almost couldn't see them. Then she made the mistake of looking down. She froze, her wings froze, and she started to fall.
"Oh dear," Tallulah called out, holding more tightly onto Celine's hand. "You have to believe in yourself. You must believe, or it won't work."
Tallulah lowered the pair of them so slowly to the ground as Celine was mumbling, "It's hard to believe in yourself when no one else believes in you." The pixie frowned.
"You really are in need of one of those elevators."
She motioned to a doorway. "Something big is hurting your heart." Upon exiting the tree, Celine wondered what kind of fever dream this was. It was as if she had been shrunk to the size of an inch or so tall. Blades of grass towered over her. Mushrooms were houses. Flowers were watchtowers. Tallulah skipped a few steps ahead and then turned around. "What do you think?"
"It's very magical." She turned around in a circle, trying to take everything in. "Seems to be a wonderful place to get lost in."
Tallulah stopped at one of the mushrooms that appeared to be similar to a food truck.
"Two, please."
As she handed one stick with some twisted honey on it to Celine, she asked, "Are you ready to maybe tell me why you want to escape your world? Maybe I can help you." Apprehensive, Celine paused again. But then she figured that since this was a dream, it could help to get things out.
She decided to just spit it out in one long sentence. My uncle has been assaulting me for years, and this is the last time. And this last time that he did this, he got me pregnant. I don't want to raise the baby from my attacker, and my leaders, my parents, nor my friends are open to helping me. None of them. She was shocked that she didn't cry. Tallulah stopped in her tracks. This is unacceptable. She shook her head. We must go see one of the elders immediately. Celine shook her head. What are they going to do? Once I wake up from this dream, nothing will have changed. Dream? She giggled again. This is no dream. At the end of their training, each pixie is tasked to find a human and bring them here in hopes to convince them to join our world. I had decided long ago that I was going to choose someone that needed help rather than just decide randomly, or as most pixies do, bring someone as a prank. You seemed like you needed our help. She took Celine's hand and led her through the forest of grass to a tree that appeared to actually be three trees braided together. She explained that she didn't feel it was in Celine's best interest to fly, as she had no confidence, and also her flight pixie dust was just about to expire. I was going to show you more of our kingdom before bringing you here, but I feel that I must seek the advice of the elders. Celine followed Tallulah through the spaces of the trunk of the tree. Before them were three thrones, all made of vines and leaves, similar, but with each their own flair. The floor that they had crossed to approach these thrones was the trunk of the tree, with each line showing the age of the tree. It felt like hundreds. The elder in the center wore a gown of purple and blue flowers. She greeted them in a formal manner. Tallulah of Raven Glen? She nodded to Celine in front. Tallulah knelt down, sitting on her knees, so Celine followed quickly. When Tallulah bowed her head, she stated, "Thank you for seeing us. Is your friend ready to make a life with us?" The pixie on the right wore a pantsuit of tree bark. Tallulah shook her head. "That is not why I brought her here," she explained. "Celine is being mistreated in her world, and just bringing her here would not solve the problem, and it would leave others vulnerable." Tallulah went on to explain the situation, and Celine put her head in her hands and cried, trying to be as quiet about it as possible. The third elder, wearing a dress made of a lily pad, stood up. "First of all, have you told her about the changelings?" When Tallulah shook her head, the elder stepped down from the throne and approached Celine. "We can take the responsibility for your baby and raise them as a pixie. You, however, will not be eligible to become a pixie because the laws surrounding changelings require their parents to never see them again." Before Celine could ask, Tallulah jumped in. "Will we be able to take the baby before it is born?" The elder replied, "Yes, we have the ability to do this." And she added towards Celine, "The alternative solution is that you live the life of a pixie, but you must carry the baby to term and raise it." "What of my uncle?" Celine held back a sob. "I don't want to go back to my world just to deal with this again." The three elders huddled together, whispering for a few minutes. While they did that, Tallulah explained, "We pixies love to pull a gentle prank and things, so maybe they are deciding how we can scare him into good behavior." The elder pixies turned to Celine and Tallulah. The one in the tree bark pantsuit said, "Celine, we normally do not get involved in the affairs of humans, but since no one in your world will help you, we will authorize Tallulah to act on our behalf." She turned to Tallulah. "Remember to stay within your training. We do not physically harm the humans. You may stun, but you may not injure or kill." The one with the flower dress asked, "Celine, your decision?" Celine didn't pause. "Yes to all." The elder in the lily pad dress motioned for a rose petal and a thorn to come to her. She used the thorn to write instructions on the petal. Handing them to Tallulah, she ordered, "Take her to the infirmary where they will perform the procedure." The pair then began to walk out, but Tallulah turned around. "Others may need help feeling better mentally after going through this. Celine asked if we had someone in the elevator role earlier. This may be something to consider, as I don't think we have anyone dedicated to elevating others." Celine shook her head and smiled as Tallulah turned around without waiting for a response from the elders. As they made their way towards the infirmary, Celine asked, "Do you think this is going to hurt?" Tallulah smiled. "They will use their magic to put you into lava land, and then another will use their magic to teleport the fetus into a seed. They will support it and use pixie dust to nourish it, and your baby will grow into a pixie. You won't feel a thing, and the changeling will have a magical life." She added proudly, "My mother was a changeling." More at ease, Celine took Tallulah's hand and squeezed it. They arrived at the door of the infirmary. We pixies may be ornery, but we do an awful lot of good, too. She handed Celine the rose petals. I will wait for you right here. It took only a matter of minutes for Celine to be taken under pixie anesthesia. The procedure completed, and for her to wake up, refreshed nonetheless. She had felt nothing, but she knew that one piece of this puzzle had been completed. Tallulah led Celine to the edge of the kingdom. What's the plan for dear old Uncle Rory? Celine turned to Tallulah. I need your help acquiring an old-fashioned handsaw and stunning him. I will do the rest. Tallulah frowned. I can't hurt people, Celine. Turning to her pixie friend, Celine explained, I'm not asking you to hurt him. I'm going to do that part. The pixie contemplated this and nodded. Fine, I'll agree to it. The elders did say to help you in whatever way you needed. They made their way to a hardware store, and Tallulah shrunk a handsaw to their size and carried it out to Celine. Then they made their way to Rory's home, where he was sitting in his recliner, drinking beer, watching sports, while his hand rested under the waistband of his sweatpants. Stun him, and then make me my real size, Celine requested. Then we will have to hide the evidence. Tallulah snapped her fingers, and some pixie dust showered over Celine. Blood won't stick to you, and the saw, I'll dispose of that myself. They climbed through a hole in the window screen and then enacted their plan. Tallulah covered him in pixie dust, stunning him but leaving him awake. Rory tried to move, but the only thing he could do was stare at Celine as she appeared in front of him. Celine smirked and then held the saw, pausing long enough for him to take in that it was her that would be proudly and painfully ending his life.